Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Drums starting really to pound there in Great Bay. Some are being caught in Delaware Bay. The blackfish bite remains just a chomp going on. Weak fish around, striped bass hot. Heard some bluefish here and there being seen, but not really biting on the freshwater front. The largemouth, the pickerel, the crappies, the channel cats, the snakeheads. Man, it is going crazy. Oh, by the way, Union Lake parking lots are going to be closed the 24th through the 28th of this month. They're going to be repaving and doing all that good work, so you're not going to be able to use that ramp for a while. Hey, last chance to register today. Postmark today in the post office, April 22nd, to register for the discounted admission, and you can get right on the beach for the Governor's Surf Tournament. It's going to be a hell of a time. It's going to be, what, May 21st? You can register online, or, again, if your application is postmarked, with your check postmarked today, April 22nd, you will be able to, you will qualify for the discount. Trout by numbers, here we go. It's the third week of the in-season trout stocking, Monday the 24th. Now, you can't fish these top three waters till 5 p.m. The Toms River is going to get 530, and its conservation stretch is going to get like a 150 or so. North Branch of Matinecong, 320. South Branch of Matinecong, 500. Prospertown Lake, 290. And Lake Shenandoah, 420. Yeah, that shoreline access in Shenandoah is lean. You got that dock and a couple little cutouts, but otherwise, need a boat in there. On Tuesday the 25th, Grenlock Lake's going to get 300, Hamilton 440. After fish Hamilton, you got to stop at the pick on 206. Get that pick burger. Comes with a heart and lung machine. Heritage Park Pond right there behind the Absecon Municipal Building, 330. Laurel Pond, 200. Oak Pond, 330. And Rowan's Pond, 100. Birch Grove Park Pond's right down the street here, 300. And Gloucester City Pond, 100. On Wednesday, the Cohansey River gets 160. Mary Elmer, 400. The Morris River, 330. Ponder Lodge Pond, my beautiful place down in the Villas, 400. South Violent Park Pond, 370. That's a tough place to fish, man. It's so deep. You can whale a trout and use a little Yuzuri Pins Minnow or a snap bean. Boom, bing, bada, bing, bada, boom. Tuckahoe Lake, 420. Weeds in there are tough. Try fly rod in there, man. Intercept those possums. Put a little bead head and info on there. On Thursday, the 27th, Greenwich Lake is 360. Harrisonville Lake, 360. Iona Lake, 330. Shadler Sandwich, 310. Swedesboro, 410. Friday, Sylvan Lake, 330. Southwest Branch and Rancocas, this is the 28th people, 180. Crystal Lake, 420. Powhatan Lake there, Route 9 and Tuckerton, 480. And Pemberton Lake, 420. Now, this pretty much wraps it up for the majority of South Jersey waters in the Rack and Fin Radio listening area. After week three, these are the only waters that will still be on the stocking list. The Toms River and its trout conservation area, the North and South Branch of the Matitoconk, the Cahansey, the Morris, Tuckahoe Lake, Ponder Lodge Pond, Gloucester City Pond, and the Southwest Branch of Rancocas Creek. Also, May 6th, there's going to be three divisions, open class money shoot. Yeah, archery is on the spring 3D shoot out there at range 129 and 129 Pleasant Avenue, Absecon. Three divisions, open class, money shoot. Entry is $30, 100% payout. The bow hunter class, $30 entry, 100% payout. And an open fun shoot, $10 entry. More info, 609-380-2557. Coming up, new kid on the block, not a new kid on the block, a new monster on the block in the rod industry. Grab that cup, grab that rebel, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
The sun's out, the birds are chirping, and the temperature is rising. That's right, summer is almost here. If you're getting ready to return to your summer home down the shore, make sure you have internet on the Xfinity 10G network so you can have an ultra-fast, reliable connection all season long. With Xfinity Internet, you can power a house full of devices all at once. That means you're covered when everyone's online, whether you're hosting just the family or the family and friends and in-laws and neighbors. That's internet with super-fast speed and ultra-fast ultra-low lag, so you can binge-watch summer blockbusters, stream music during cookouts, or play video games on those stormy days. You have the sunscreen, the floaties, and yard games. Now sign up for the fastest internet today. Check service availability, because Xfinity may be newly available in your area. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. The Xfinity 10G network. The future starts now. Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants in stock.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. Here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
At the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, we are working, now more than ever, to fill the emptiness caused by hunger. We are the state's largest anti-hunger organization, and together with our 800-plus community partners, we are committed to delivering food, help, and hope to our hundreds of thousands of New Jersey neighbors in need. We couldn't do it without your support. Please go to cfbnj.org to donate today. That's cfbnj.org.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Now, as you know, every few weeks, especially this time of year, right into the early summer on Rack and Fin Radio, we try to preview a new product. We also do it in the fall or late summer, you know, for the hunting seasons. Came across, again, as I peruse, Facebook and whatever. I know I'm not a social media maven here, but you're looking for new products, new fishing news, whatever going on. Several months ago, I came across a company called Trica, a new fishing rod company. As if the world needs, you say to yourself, another fishing rod company. Well, let me tell you something, people. I had the opportunity to hold one, actually a couple, to cast them. And this is definitely, of course, the paradigm here. This company has done something that a rod's not a rod's not a rod. We get that. But this is in a class of its own. I spoke to a gentleman there, a great mission statement, disrupt the fishing industry. And let me tell you something, that wasn't a disruption, that was a nuclear blast. Joining us on the line right now is Mike Weinkauf, Executive Vice President of Trica Fishing, and they are based out of Superior, Wisconsin. So, yeah, we have a Midwestern boy on his own in the Rack and Fin Radio Parallel Universe. Mike Weinkauf, thanks for joining us. How you doing, brother?
Thank you, Tom. I am wonderful. Thanks so much. And yes, you're correct. The Midwest is loud and clear up here. I'm standing here looking out my front door at about 4 inches of snow and not a blade of grass.
Lucky you. I've been mowing for months now. Well, Mike, let's get right to the name. Right off the bat, I found it very intriguing because it plays into the mission statement as far as what Trica has done research and production-wise. And listeners, a warranty like none other. We're going to get into another segment. No one has done this. This isn't endorsing, people. This is just stating fact. Okay, Trica, go into that, please.
You mean the name?
The name, Trica, yeah.
Yes. So Trica, as we were started looking at different names and different things like that, we wanted something that had some meaning and some depth behind it. And, you know, and if you look at Trica, T-R-I-K-A, and you Google that, you can see that it basically means when three things come together for greatness. So it made some sense to us because as we started building and designing these rods, when we started building them, we all of a sudden we realized, hey, we got three things here. Well, let's put these three things together material-wise, and that'll be our three things for greatness.
So basically, from what I found in the research I've done and speaking with people who have these rods, listen, hardcore fishermen, that, again, new kid on the block here, is that sensitivity, lighter weight, and longer casting. Now, those are some very bold statements. There are some major players out there in the rod industry, Mike. So your process there, is it patented? What's the dealio?
Yeah, so, I mean, here's the deal, Tom. I mean, and you know, too, you know, we got into this from the hunting side of the industry. And, you know, we came from a background of developing Rage broadheads, Block Target, Raven crossbows. And then we decided to get into fishing. So the companies I just said disrupted that space, their own individual space. And that's what we decided to do with fishing. And the only way to disrupt this space is not be another Me Too, not offer out or try to design similar products of what everybody else is doing. So exactly. we literally took this design and we took materials that have not been used. We took patterns that have not been used. So literally when this rod was completed, the entire blank was ours. The mandrels inside the blank, when the materials are rolled, are ours. The reel seat was ours. The handles are ours. So the only thing on this rod that we had to buy ourselves were the guides. That was it. Everything else is custom designed for one specific reason. Every piece I just told you is 100% carbon. And the entire idea behind this rod, as we built it, was to make the most sensitive rod ever made.
And it seems, Mike, that you have the... Now, when you jumped into this, again, there's major players out there. I know you guys are sort of the rebel, rebel thing going. But did you notice, like I have, the industry itself, again, just another Me Too, a sense of complacency from the rod end, a new handle or a different guide? Because this is a... You're doing a Davy and Goliath thing here, bro.
That's right, yeah. And that, honestly, Tom, that is exactly why we decided to get into this. Because we looked at, we are very passionate fishermen. We always have been for a very long time. Always looking for opportunities to try to get in and disrupt a space within the fishing industry. And as we looked at all the different categories, because there's a bunch of them, mm-hmm. The one we felt like was the most complacent out there and very large at the same time were fishing rods. There just hasn't been a lot of technological change to it. And on top of that, when you start to look at the things we have done in the past, everything has been data driven. And that's what we've done with this again. So we are really not just saying, hey, we're the most this or we do this or we do that. Not a lot of hype that's out there. It's really data driven. So we have the data to actually look at that compares us with other high end rods and things like that. We don't bring up names because we don't need to. We just mm-hmm. know that here's the price points of these rods. And then we can actually show people that these rods are outperforming other rods.
Now, Mike, breaking down the competition's rods, I mean, that had to be a pretty painstaking, and finding the pros and the cons, pretty much a painstaking process, was it not?
Yes, because, here's basically the way we do it. And, the simple form, if you were to get into the rod business, and as you open the show, does the industry need another rod company? My gosh, that's a tough one, unless you come out with something new. So, that being said, when we decided to get into this, the very first thing we did is we bought basically every rod you could ever imagine in that upper price point range. We brought them in-house. We brought multiples. And we brought them in-house to basically create a baseline. And what I mean by that is you put them on a bend board, you see exactly what kind of flex they have. You put them through a destructive test where you literally bend them in a circle and see where they blow up, see where they break, see how many pounds of pressure it takes to break that rod. And then from there, what we did is we would also do a sensitivity test. So we would actually do a vibration test where the vibration would run through the line all the way down the guides and into basically where your hand sits, whether it's a spinning rod or a casting rod.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave us a great, you know, some good information there as well as far as what the sensitivity was. But, and then one of the biggest things, and I think that I think it's more super interesting, is we actually took these rods and did a total dissection. So we literally cut them in one-inch sections from all the way from the butt of the rod to the tip of the rod, looking at materials.
Excuse me. Not to be rude. One-inch sections?
Yep. Yes, one-inch sections. I know it sounds absolutely insane.
Oh man.
When you're looking at a fishing rod and it's sitting there in about 60 parts, it's a lot of parts. But we literally cut it like that just so we could see. We wanted to really understand, you know, where transition lines were, where material changes were, what's on the inside of this thing. And that became a critical part of how we designed our rods.
Join us on the Rack and Fin line this morning, April 22nd, as Mike Weinkauf, Executive Vice President, new rod company in the game, people called Trika, based out of Superior, Wisconsin. Okay, Mike, we're up against a hard break. Want to get into some of the sensitivity things in the next segment, especially listeners with the lines. And I was able to cast, and Fisher was able to cast these rods with mono, with braid, and with fluoro main lines. Pretty fascinating. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Hey, don't go grabbing a shovel or a snowblower while we're on break here. You're coming right back, right?
I'm coming back.
Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Are you already doing digital advertising sales? Do you know all about targeted displays, social media marketing, the latest in SEM, and behavioral targeting? If so, you could be Townsquare Media's new advertising sales star. We are looking for passionate sales professionals to join our media and digital advertising team. If consulting and connecting local businesses with their ideal audience for growth sounds exciting, well, let's have a conversation about you working for Townsquare Media. Right now is the perfect time to join our team as an advertising account executive. Our comp package is amazing with unlimited earning potential, including base salary, mobile phone, auto package, 401k match, and more, along with world-class training and plenty of room for growth. If you're competitive, driven, and have the ability to communicate great ideas, we want to hear from you. Reach out to Michael Rubel, Market President, at 609-910-5249 or visit careers.townsquaremedia.com. Townsquare Media is an equal opportunity employer.
First impressions are lasting impressions, and these days that's more important than ever. Before your potential customer ever sets foot inside your business, calls, or places an item in their online shopping cart, they've checked you out online, because that's where commerce happens these days, even if there's a brick and mortar end to it. So when they looked you up, what did they see? Is your website compelling? Does it appear first when someone searches for your product? And does your website make the sort of impression that makes a customer want to engage with your business? Townsquare South Jersey is ready to help your business grow. We have the online tools you need, from web design to making sure you show up in online searches. Townsquare South Jersey even has the metrics to show how and when people are accessing your website, so you can maximize those first impressions. For a free local customer analysis, where you can see how many local customers in South Jersey are looking for businesses like yours, go to townsquarelocal.com. Make your website work for you. Get started at townsquarelocal.com.
With warmer weather and people getting out and about, the New Jersey Transit Police Department reminds you that we all need to work together to keep our transit system safe. Your attention is our most valuable asset. If you ride New Jersey Transit trains or buses, or if you live or work near a station, the power is in your hands. Your cell phone or other handheld device can be the most effective way to safeguard our system. As you go about your daily routine, you know if something or someone seems out of place. Be alert and aware of your surroundings. If something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. Report suspicious activity to 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD. That's 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD. It's up to all of us to keep our transit system and our country safe. Remember, the power is in your hands. New Jersey Transit urges you to report suspicious activity to 1-888-TIPS-NJT. or text your report to NJTPD.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at AutismSpeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom B. Very special guest coming in from Superior, Wisconsin is Mike Weinkauf, Executive President, Trika Rods, new rod company in the game. Well, Mike, one of the things that, again, all the press releases I've written over the years, the rods I use, blank through handle construction, blank through handle construction, by rote, blank through handle construction. I understand that on these Trika rods, it's not full through the handle, correct? And your handles are hollow? Go into that. That's bizarre.
Yes.
That's bizarre,
okay,
man.
It is absolutely bizarre. But as Tom, as we started back to the whole dissection of these rods, as we started cutting these things apart, we started realizing, okay, these handles are either solid foam or they're wrapped around the blank, and the blank runs. Every rod, the blank runs all the way to the very butt. You know, that's just a given. That's just the way it's been done. So as we started thinking of things, we started thinking, okay, what can we change that hasn't been done that enhances vibration, sensitivity? So actually, our rod blank runs about two-thirds through the reel seat, and it comes to a dead end right there.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, the handle. It runs two-thirds of the way back in the handle. And on top of that, the handle itself is actually hollow. It's a hollow carbon tube. The reason for that, again, is we've created what we call it's a patented echo chamber. So as the vibration bounces from the tip of the rod and dead ends in that butt end, that's closer to your hand than it is if it was all the way in the very back. And let's face it, when we're fishing, where are we holding the rod? It's more up towards that reel, right? Not in that butt section. That's where you feel your sensitivity. So you want that to dead end as close as you can to the human hand.
Like your echo chamber explanation is still a mind tickler. Go into that.
Yeah. So it's basically the echo chamber is the hollow handle.
Right.
It's a hollow handle.
Bing, bing.
And the blank itself ends about two-thirds of the way back inside this hollow handle chamber. And that's what's creating these sound waves. And we have recorded them. We've looked at it. We understand that, you know, it's just from a transmission of vibration. And it's really simple. EVA is the worst. Work is the next worst. Carbon is the best. So what do? We made ours carbon.
Something else. Like, this is absolutely something else. This is Joe's on the line right now. It's Mike. My mind's exploding here, Weinkauf. Mike Weinkauf, Executive Vice President, Trika Rod Company, based out of Superior, Wisconsin. So, Mike, the sensitivity, the castability, the strength, these have gone through exhaustive tests, again, against the competition and on its own, correct?
That is correct. We, as I mentioned earlier, we literally have taken every... And I'm not going to bring up names. That's irrelevant. We have taken very expensive rods. And if you go to the website, which is Trika.com, you can actually see some of the data on there that I was referring to earlier. We're all about the data. So all you get a little look at the price point, and you're going to get a good understanding of this has to be an expensive rod. This has to be a good quality rod. But we have data that compares ours against all these high-end rods.
Now, you've settled on, what, 5 spinning and 7 casting, so your SKUs are limited to 12. As we've discussed, and I've said this for years, especially with the Lures company, get everything involved in this, too much or too many? You've settled on the 12 now. How is that going? Are there clamors now, because you're selling these all over the country, are there clamors now for more models?
You know, Tom, yes, you're correct. When we decided to get into this whole thing, we looked at it and we realized that some of the confusion out there in other rod manufacturers is that there's so many SKUs and it's very difficult to go online and it's very hard to decide what you want to buy. So we tried to simplify that by coming out with 5 spinning and 7 casting rods. Now, will we add to this? We certainly will. But are we going to end up with 100 fishing rods? No, we won't. I'm guessing we're going to end up in the low 20s, and that should give us a full range of all the power actions that anybody needs for any species of freshwater fishing.
Mike, it seems you fast-tracked this from when you guys, again, very successful in the hunting industry, super successful. People know that you're Raven Crossbows, et cetera. When you sat down and brainstormed till the first production model went out the door as a sale, how long?
Well, painfully, Tom, in a good way and a bad way, it's 3 years.
That's really though, when you consider things, like starting to come again in this super hyper competitive rod industry against the giants, that is a pretty fast track, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, we worked very hard to get it to where we need to be. It took us, 3 years. Our goal in the beginning was 2 years. But one thing that we've said from the very beginning, we will not ever introduce a product until we feel it is superior to what's out there. And that's why it took us so long. It took us that many reiterations of everything and looking at this rod, the way it was built, because we're using aerospace materials, things that have not been used in the fishing space before. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost to the point, the way I give it the best analogy internally, we hit the Powerball because there's so many different applications and so many different ways you can put a rod together. There's thousands of carbon materials. There's thousands of resins out there. So now you got to come up with this combination of 3 or 4. And once we hit that, we have Trico.
Listeners, I'm me, Tom P. I'm stuck for words because I know what's involved with this. But let me backtrack. You have me all over the place here. Because listen, I'm going to get a check in the mail here. I have to get a check in the mail to you soon. Listen, the sensitivity with, again, here's where, again, paradigm is right here. Braid, mono, and fluoro, you're saying that the sensitivity is equal when using all three of those lines?
Excuse me. Yes.
Casting, performance, everything?
As we did some research on this, we started looking at, okay, what are the three line types people use? Braid, fluoro, mono. Okay. How do you simulate a true fishing scenario? We ran 20 yards of line out straight, small vibration machine on it, put a slight tension on the line, and put a sensitivity tester back exactly where your finger or hand would sit on the rod, and created the sensitivity that ran all the way through the line, through the guides, 20 yards away, back to the sensitivity, and we realized that our rod series actually is very similar between braid, mono, and fluoro. And I know that sounds insane, but if you look at some of the reviews online, and if you actually try it, you'll notice that people are saying mono feels like braid, which is really, really cool. So we have
phenomenal.
A lot of our people that have out there. Yeah, I know, it's insane. It's working that well.
You ought to think of a rod series name. How about Insanity? I like that. My eye right now, listeners, the check's going to be near. My eye right now is on a 6'10" medium light extra fast, 3.7 ounces. Can you believe that? The other one's 3.5. You don't even feel these in your hands. 4 to 10 pound line, 1/16 and 1/4 ounce for 90% of my freshwater applications. That is there. Well, we're speaking with Mike Weinkauf. He's the executive vice president, Tricor Rod Company. New. I would say bully on the block, man. You're gonna be pissing some people off there, Weinkauf. But an unprecedented. Listeners, check this out. If you're driving, pull over in your boat. Stop. Go into this unprecedented warranty. One of the things that when I spoke to my couple weeks ago, we flushed this out, I said, I can't believe we're doing this. Do you want to stay in business doing this? Not cockiness, people. Confidence. Got to respect that. Mike, go into this warranty. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your motor. Go, man.
Okay. It is. So back to our confidence in this. We feel extremely confident. Once we got it out again, once we fished with it, once we got it out to all the pros out there and had other people fishing, hardcore people all over the country, not just in our area up here, we realized we had something special. So first thing we did is we looked at, okay, what's the best warranty out there? Well, the best warranty out there is a lifetime warranty, which is great. So there's a handful of rods that actually offer that. And we decided, okay, well, we'll match that. We're going to do a lifetime warranty. And then we thought, okay, what else can we do that nobody is doing? The next piece of that we offered, that we have offered out on all of our rods, is a one-year money-back guarantee. So if you get it, you fish it for 364 days, and you decide, you know what, I don't like it, send it back, and you get a full, all your money back. No problem.
Weinkauf, repeat that. Listen, repeat that one more time.
Yeah, I will. We literally, because of the confidence in this series, we're offering a free look. It's literally a free look. It's 365 days. You can sit and fish this thing, take it out, do whatever you need to, compare it to any of the rods that you think are your best and favorites. If you don't think they're better, send it back and we'll give your money back.
You heard that on Rack and Fin Radio, people. Mike Weinkauf, Executive Vice President of Tricor Rods. Now, listeners, according to Mike, again, and I understand his reasoning here, being in the industry is, God, I feel like Moses. It's only manufacturer direct. Mike, go into that reasoning, please.
Yeah. So our previous life, we lived in the box stores, the big box stores. And what we decided with this, as we got into fishing, was we really wanted to focus on something direct to consumer. I mean, it's the natural phase of where life is going for everybody. Now the difference is with a fishing rods are touchy feely, you know? So, I get it. If you go into the store and you can pick it up and go, wow, this thing's light or this thing feels sensitive, right, which is why we did our 365 days or 1 year money back guarantee to give you a free look. But Part of the other reason for this going consumer direct on our website was we could actually save the end consumer significant money. So what I mean by that is every time you go through a step of distribution from a retailer, from our personal standpoint, the price doubles. So if we were to have this at any of the big box stores, we literally would be in that $599 range. So that's what this rod would cost at retail. We're offering all of our rods at $299. That's just a flat rate for every rod. So you don't have to figure out what anything costs. And it doesn't matter. Every single rod is $299.
And you're saving 20 beans on the shipping, people. I understand, Mike, did I misspeak there? You guys are free shipping?
You are correct. Free shipping as well. It is free shipping.
Wow, man, this is like Santa Claus. Holy God. Well, Mike, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Breaking news, people, in especially the Rack and Fin Radio listening area, Tricor Rods, go to their website, check it out. Just these are the mission statement, disrupt the industry. They did more than that. This is really something. Again, the performance that I saw anyway, and my check's in the mail, Weinkauf, you know that. And also the warranty, 364 days. You don't like it, send it back. Stop that. Can anyone else do that? No. So thanks for breaking the news with us, Mike. Honor to have you on Rack and Fin. We wish you the best success. Listen, these rods are something now. Again, geared to the freshwater market. Naturally, you can use them in soil rights, clean them up, whatever, a whole bit. But, Mike, I just see a bright future for you.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate the time on Rack and Fin Radio. I really do. And like I said, if everybody out there that is, you know, a fisherman that's interested, take a look at Trica.com. Take advantage of this one-year money-back guarantee. Just get one and try it. If you love it, tell your friends, please, because that's our best way to get this message out there.
Breaking news on Rock and Fin Radio. Mike, have a great weekend. Now you can get to that shovel, bud.
Hey, Tom, I appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
All
see
right,
you, man.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Okay. All right, bye.
Yeah, man, my check is going out there. Actually, I'm going to put it out on Monday. I'm looking at the 610. They have a 6.6, a 7.7, and 7.6. And they also have seven casting models. Four, five, they have a 6.10, 7.7, 3, 7.3, 7.3, 7.5, and 7.7. Yeah, new product review, people. This is, again, the warranty alone was newsworthy. But, man, these Trica people, they have something going on. Be right back. Hey, striper netting in Delaware Bay with Bureau of Marine Fisheries. Brendan Harrison coming up. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. President Biden celebrating the Supreme Court's ruling to allow continued access to the abortion pill mifepristone.
The Supreme Court granting an emergency request from the Biden administration and the maker of the drug. A Texas judge ruling the FDA's process was improperly rushed, temporarily halting approval while litigation continued in lower courts.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. The court allowing the pill to remain on the market indefinitely as a legal challenge proceeds. A Wall Street Journal survey shows former President Trump topping Florida Governor DeSantis in a test of a hypothetical GOP presidential matchup. DeSantis has yet to declare he's running, and last night Trump boasted in Fort Myers, Florida.
Shortly after we win the presidency, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settled. I'll get it settled very quickly.
America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight will be mild with increasing amounts of clouds and a low of 58. Saturday, low clouds breaking for some sunshine, a breezy afternoon and a high of 78. Saturday night, periods of rain, some heavy and a thunderstorm. Those storms could bring flooding downpours, hail and damaging wind gusts, a low 52. Sunday will be breezy with clouds and sun. We'll reach a high Sunday of 69. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Ferocious tog bite out there, I said, Neil B. Ferocious! And it's going to end on, what's it, April 30th. So get out there for the togarinis right now. But also, now, a couple weeks ago, we had on Captain Dom Troisi. Striper fishing in the Delaware River is out of control. Well, the Bureau of Marine Fisheries has been, it's a continuing program. I guess it's in conjunction with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, a cooperative study. It's called the Delaware Bay Striper Tagging Program. Joining us on the line right now is Senior Biologist Brendan Harrison with DEP's Bureau of Marine Fisheries to talk about the program, what they're netting, what they're tagging, and how the striper population looks. Brendan Harrison, good to have you on Rack and Fin, little brother. How's it going?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on, Tom.
You are always welcome on Rack and Fin Radio, talking Delaware Bay and talking Delaware River stripers. What is happening with the linesiders down there? You've been catching, you've been tagging. What is the dealio? Go.
Yeah. So usually we start our tagging down in the Delaware Bay in March and April, but we've noticed the last few years that the fish seem to be moving in and out of there earlier and earlier. So
wow.
This year we started actually a month earlier, February 1st. And we did pretty good the month of February. And then
February?
Yeah.
Whoa. Is it predicated on water clarity, temperature, flow? What are the parameters you work with?
Yeah, this year I think it was such a mild winter and mild spring. So, we bumped it up a month earlier, and we did really good. And we tagged a bunch of fish in the month of February. And then kind of just as expected with the warmer temperatures and such, the fish kind of moved out of our area a little earlier than this year, and we heard that they were, you know, moving up the Delaware River, like you just mentioned. So I think they've been up there recently.
Yeah, Brian, I was fishing up there, I said, a couple of weeks ago. In fact, Easter morning. And we were at right there at Trenton, right behind the Trenton Thunder Stadium. And on the electronics, Captain Dom said, Tom, those are herring. These are shad, a lot of shad. And these are stripers. Now, he knows how to read the colors. I don't know. And I said, holy, he says, Tom, this is the best stripers in the river I have ever seen. And he's been fishing here for like 3 decades. It's just been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I was actually talking to one of the biologists that work in Delaware. So they do a similar program and tag up on the spawning grounds in the Delaware River, and they noticed the fish up there a bit earlier this year as well.
Brendan, how many years has Bureau of Marine Fisheries been doing this?
So we joined the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service tagging program in 1989.
Wow, so you got some decades under the belt here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you noticed highs and lows? I mean, back in 89, I guess it was low. I mean, the moratorium was on or whatever. Have the numbers increased? Have there been up years and down years?
Yeah, definitely. So the kind of the peak for our program, the highest tagging numbers we had were in the kind of throughout the 2000s. And then since about 2011, the numbers have kind of trended downward, which definitely is in line with some of the numbers associated with the stock biomass and such. But we've had in the last 12 years, the best 2 years tagging we've had were this year and in 2019.
Now, Brendan, tag returns. How many on the average? One, again, so far this year, how many fish have been tagged? Do you have something approximate?
Yeah, so for this year, we tagged about 275 fish.
Whoa! Give us a size range, bro.
Everything from as small as like 18 inches up until I think yesterday we caught a 46-inch striper out on the bay. So
now, are these, what kind of nets are you using? Are these like the flexible gill nets?
Yeah, so we use gill nets. They range in size from about 300 feet long to 600 feet long. We use generally like a 5 to 7 inch stretch mesh. We try to cover the water column, however deep the water is where we're fishing. So we got nets from like 4 feet deep all the way up to about 11 feet deep.
Well, joining us on the Rack and Fin line this morning is Brendan Harrison. He's a senior biologist at DEP's Bureau of Marine Fisheries right there out of Naco Creek. Topic is the Delaware River, or Delaware Bay, I should say, striper tagging, netting and tagging program. Brendan, the size ranges now, are the fish generally in schools similar size, or are they all mixed? Or you get just big ones, just middle-sized ones, just smaller ones?
Yeah, for us, we see generally like earlier in the season, a lot of the smaller fish around. So that's when we were seeing those, you know, real small, like 18-inch to 24-inch fish. And then as the season goes on and the water starts to warm up, we start to see the length of the fish kind of increase as well. And recently, the bigger fish that we've been getting are probably actually on their way back out of the river maybe by now. So
okay, on their way out.
This week we had, a couple large 40-plus-inch fish coming down. So
yeah, I was just going to ask you, when does the run, the upriver, up bay to the river, when does that usually peter out? About end of April, mid-April?
Yeah, even into May. I just think, you know, this year might be a little bit earlier with the mild weather we've had. But, yeah, usually, you know, April, May, there's some spawning that even goes all the way into June. So it depends on the year and the water temperatures and such and the weather.
Now, Brendan, tag returns, like I mentioned earlier, do you get many in per season?
Yeah, so we had, just to give you like a big picture, so the New Jersey's tagged 35,000 plus fish since 1989.
Whoa!
Since then, we've had almost 9,000 tag returns. So it's about like a 25% return rate, which is pretty good for a tagging program.
Tracking where the tags come from, how far north, how far south? I mean, anything from, say, up to, you know, Massachusetts or Maine, Rhode Island, anything down North Carolina or Maryland, Virginia?
Yeah, no, exactly. So we get the majority of our tag returns come from north of us, New York, Massachusetts. But the furthest north we've had has been a fish caught on the St. George River in Maine. And then the furthest south we've had
St. George.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. And then furthest south we had a fish caught off of Cedar Island, North Carolina. So now when, the whole range from North Carolina to Maine.
Now, Brendan, when you get the tags back, what data is gleaned from this?
So it all depends on who's reporting it, but generally they'll give us, you know, the date the fish was caught, the location, the length of the fish, the weight of the fish sometimes. So, yeah, that's just the general information we get from tag returns.
And what kind of use?
So it gets used in a variety of different ways. We can come up with, so it does get used for the stock assessments, gets plugged into the stock assessment model. We come up with, you know, just the idea of where the fish are going. We can see how long they've been at large and how much they've grown since the time we tagged them and since they've been recaptured. And from our personal data, like when we're out there tagging fish in the spring, we also take scale samples.
There
so
you
we
go.
Can get the age of the fish and lengths and weights.
Hey, have you ever caught any tag fish, you know, from year to year on the way up?
So we actually, a few years ago, we tagged one fish like in a certain location in the Delaware Bay, and then almost like a year to the day, we caught the same fish pretty much in the same location. So we thought that was interesting.
So the farthest up there was the St. George River in Maine. That is amazing. That's hundreds upon hundreds of hundreds of miles. So is this data, are you finding out anything unusual about the bass that you never knew before?
I guess that's a good question. I think just like I said was in the beginning, we've always typically started March 1st, but in recent years, the last 10 years or so, we've seen our numbers kind of, we'll get out there March 1st and tag fish pretty good for the first couple weeks, and then our numbers really trail off. So years ago, they used to catch the striped bass in that part of the bay, like all the way through April.
Right.
So that's why we started a month earlier this year, and the fish were there in February. So I think we're going to keep that trend and try to just start a little bit earlier each year.
Okay, Brendan, we're up against a hard break. I have another couple of minutes. Now, you know, the chatter out there, but again, it's around people about a license, la, 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 la. But where does the funding for this program specifically come from? And do you have any idea of the costs involved?
This is a federal funded program. It comes from the funding comes from the Sport Fish Restoration Fund. So that program funds fish and wildlife agencies up and down the coast for fishery projects like this and boating access, education. The revenue comes from taxes on fishing equipment, and other things like import duties on your tackle and boats and even a portion of gasoline tax. So, and then all that, money, you know, just gets used to fund conservation and restoration efforts on sport fish species like striped bass. So, perfect.
So, Brendan, now you're going to be wrapping up pretty soon. So, you're figuring on starting back early next February, then 24, correct?
Yeah, that's the plan. Definitely. Yeah, we're wrapping things up now and hope to be back out there February 1st next year.
Brendan, before I let you go, because of the netting thing, when I was with fisheries listeners, that we're talking many. I don't know if Brendan's parents were born yet, but I was always, you know, always something would always freak you out in the net. You'd be like a surprise. Well, I never knew this was here. I never knew that was there. Have there been any surprises the years you've been netting Delaware Bay? Like, you know, like where did that thing come from?
Since I've been working on the program, nothing too crazy. We have caught our fair share of sturgeon. We catch a bunch of American shad. But that's about it. Yeah, every once in a while we'll catch an Atlantic sturgeon, and we actually tag and release them as well.
Oh, so. Cool. Yeah, aren't they supposed to be endangered or something?
Yeah.
Not for any. Brendan has no idea. I'm just going to pop this out, but we're up in the Delaware shad fishing. Man, there was sturgeon jumping all over the place. Not the big ones, but yeah, I said, those are sturgeon. I don't want to talk about it. Oh, there goes a rod going off when the shad hit, you know? But so it's not, the netting thing was always a great, I love doing it, but you never know. I mean, your target species naturally, everything was planned out, people. I'm going to be wrong, but every once in a while, something will come out and say, where the hell did that thing come from?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, Brendan, you have a great season. Thanks for the hard work. Best of all the Bureau of Marine Fisheries. Hope to see you on the, hey, you going to get a chance to fish this summer?
Yeah, sure. Hope so.
They say that, but they're constantly at work. Trust me. Okay, Brendan, you take care. Have a great weekend, man.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
I'll see you. Brendan Harrison, one of the young guns here at the Bureau of Marine Fisheries. That Delaware Bay netting and tagging is a fascinating program. Again, you wonder. Striped bass biomass, up, down, up, down, up, down. It is really, really a roller coaster ride, but the data gleaned from this is invaluable. Again, the scale samples are important and the tagging. Again, Saint way up north, some fish way south. It's amazing. Now, with the graze tagging, Hutch of the Fisherman had a great editorial about this last year. What they found stripers out in the canyons. Like, whoa, again, that's why I asked Brendan anything surprising. There's always something to learn about, especially the stripers. That is really an enigmatic species. Okay, grab that cup, grab that rebel. We're going to wrap it up. Rack and Fin Radio. Be right back.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
We're here with Mark Kelty, Senior VP and Chief Commercial Lending Officer from Franklin Bank, our WPG Talk Radio 95.5 industry ace for banking. Tell us what Franklin Bank has to offer to its customers looking to borrow money.
Franklin Bank will soon be celebrating its 162nd year in operation, so the first thing a customer will be getting is stability, and you're also going to be treated great. With our business banking lending, Franklin offers commercial mortgages, commercial construction loans, agricultural loans and business lines of credit. And once we have all the information needed, we can have an answer for our customers within 48 hours.
How have recent bank failures impacted Franklin Bank's ability to lend to your business customers?
That's a great question, and the quick answer is they haven't impacted Franklin at all. We rely on our 162 years of knowledge passed down to understand our borrowers, understand their businesses, and understand the important industries where we operate here in the 8 counties of South Jersey.
Great info. Thank you, Mark, for being one of our industry aces. For more information, please visit franklinbnk.com.
Did you know Atlanta County has been recycling for more than 35 years? Recycling is an easy and important activity you can do every day to help the environment. ACUA reminds you to recycle metal cans, glass jars, cardboard, paper, and plastics with the numbers 1, 2, and 5 inside the recycling symbol. To help keep the successful system going, never put plastic bags in your curbside recycling container. And please rinse all food residue. To learn more, visit ACUA.com or call 609-272-6950.
In business, everything your employees do impacts your brand, including what they wear. Cintas has high-performance workplace apparel for almost every job imaginable. From work shirts and pants to polos and khakis to Oxfords or T-shirts, these clothes move, breathe, and look great. Your team gets the styles they like, you convey the image you want. And Cintas service includes weekly laundry and delivery. To learn more, visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready.
And get ready for the workday.
Dr. Rick here with another telltale sign you're turning into your parents. Getting particular about your drive-thru order.
Don't pull away yet. I like to check the bag because one time they forgot to give me extra ketchup.
People are waiting.
I'm only seeing 4 nuggets. Bop, bop, bop. Wait, nope, there's 5.
Progressive can't help you from becoming your parents, but we can help you compare rates on home insurance with HomeQuote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Have a great weekend. I just want to close it out. On May 6th, the Atlantic City Saltwater Anglers Fishing Flea Market is going to be held from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Egg Harbor Township Elks Lodge at 1815 Summer Point Road in Egg Harbor Township. Check it out. It is a great club. Shout out to Leon there, man. Good going with that, Leon. Vendor space is free. Check it out. There's going to be plenty of free parking. The Elks, the bar is going to be open. They're going to be cooking food. It's going to be a great time for more. Again, you have a bunch of fish and tackle around you want to get rid of. That's the time. Go set up. And there's going to be great deals on fresh and saltwater tackle. That's going to be 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. May 6th at the Egg Harbor Township Elks Lodge, 1815 Summers Point Road in Egg Harbor Township. For details, contact Leon, 609-994-7453. For closing, hey, shout out to Ellis. Hey, man, from the Hooks and Anchors Club. Thanks for listening. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Weather's a little gnarly, so what? Tomorrow's going to be gorgeous. Get out and fish. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.